the one thing I want to start out with is National Basketball League of Australia. How does the game compare to the NBA game? Not necessarily the talent, but the physicality, the preponderance of three-pointers, that kind of thing.
In that sense, it's very similar. It is FIBA rules, so it's a 40-minute game, 14-minute quarters. Most of the rules are the same. We can take the ball off the rim. Once it hits the rim, the ball's live, so you can kind of tip it out. A few small nuances like that, but for the most part, it's very similar. The game all around the world is starting to change, where there's a lot of three-pointers and a lot of lineups that are non-traditional, as they were in the 80s and 90s, where teams are going very, very small. So it's very similar in that aspect.
And what about the talent level? I mean, how would you describe it, either compared with the NBA or international competition?
Well, obviously, it's not up to the level of the NBA. The NBA is obviously a step above every league in the world. I believe after that, you've probably got the Euro League in number two. Maybe Spain and a few other European leagues, but I think the NBL's right up there after those teams. For this side of the world, Oceania and Southeast Asia, including the Asian leagues, it's definitely the best league on this side of the world, and it'd be close to top five, in the world after that.
I want to take you back a little bit to the 73-win team and what happened in the finals. Everybody kind of thinks that's the Draymond Green finals, that he screwed things up. But you got hurt in Game 5 early in that series. And so you also didn't play the last three games of that series. What do you remember about that time and the team's confidence level going forward in that series without you and without Draymond for Game 5?
Well, threw us out a little bit. Obviously, Draymond, had a huge year for us defensively. And once I went down in Game 5, where J.R. Smith kind of just cannonballed me and I really hurt my knee really bad. Draymond and I were the best defenders, at least, in the paint. So it kind of hurt our defensive structure. I was having a great series on protecting the rim and just making LeBron second guess. He was getting in the lane a lot early in the series, and I blocked a few of the shots, and then it kind of stopped from there, which was kind of good. And we had a 3-1 lead, obviously, and a few things changed. We also had Andre Iguodala was battling through some severe back spasms, so he couldn't really move as well, and he was our number one option to kind of slow LeBron down as much as he could. And the series changed, and that's the beauty of the NBA, the 7-game series. Are never over because a little bit of momentum swings and then the other team gets confidence and you see what happened in that series, and it still hurts to this day.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, you won it the year before, then you win 73 and don't win it. Kind of how do you look back on your last 2 years with Golden State? A little bittersweet?
Yeah, a little bit. Look, we would have loved to have won that second year, but that's the way the cookie crumbles, I guess. Thankful we've got one championship because there's a lot of NBA players that don't even get close to a final series throughout their career. So I was pretty lucky and blessed to be part of a special group that it was just so much fun to play with. The Golden State Warriors of that phase, we kind of all came in together from different teams in, I think it was 12-13, and no one thought we're going to be any good, and we kind of built it up just from the ground up without really signing any superstars. And that's why it still is a very special part of my NBA life.
I mean, I think of you back at Utah. I remember watching you a lot. You're obviously a great passer. Then you came into the NBA, had success, but not like with the Warriors. I mean, had you gotten to the point in your career when you kind of didn't think being on a team like that was even possible?
Oh, no doubt. Look, I was in a small market team for 7 years in Milwaukee where I was the number one or number two option throughout my 7 years in Milwaukee. And it was just grinding to even stay at 500 for most of the season. We had a few successful years, but, the room for error in small markets is so small, and we tried to build a culture and it just didn't work out. And then obviously got the chance to go to Golden State, where that at that time was even worse than right. Than Milwaukee was. And it was just so cool to build that team chemistry and bond and guys that genuinely like each other. And we just had a great mix on that roster of guys that brought different things. And I kind of accepted, with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, I'm no longer going to be the number one, number two option. I'm happy to be the fourth, fifth, sixth option and do what I do, which was setting good screens and playing great defense and rebounding and blocking shots for us to win games. And that was the beauty of that team. We had a lot of guys. Andre Iguodala was the other one. He was a 20-point scorer in Philly and Denver. And he came, and, you know, we've got him coming off the bench. So a lot of guys gave up individual stats to win a championship.
The thing I remember about the 73-win team during the regular season was I felt like there were 4 to 6 plays a game where an opposing guard would penetrate, and you'd either get a piece of it or you would change the shot somehow or they would turn it over. And it seemed to lead invariably to a three at the other end more often than not. Do you think that was your best defensive season in the NBA?
Yeah, I think both. I think the championship year and the following year, I think, it was just being part of a team that understood our strengths and weaknesses, and guys knew that, you know, if they got beat, either Draymond or myself was there, and we were physical with block shots, and then obviously with Steph and Clay running those wings and getting out to three, if we can get in transition just for a split second and give them some daylight on an open shot, it worked in our favor. So we had a really good balance. The roster was put together very, very well, and it was, yeah, it was just an awesome time. And defensively, I felt like I was really contributing at a you know, an all-league level, which I was rewarded with an all-defensive team.
We're joined by Andrew Bogut, former Golden State Warrior, won a title here. Now leading the league in rebounding and block shots in the National Basketball League of Australia. So you still got some game left, huh?
Yeah, getting these old bones up and down the court still. So still contributing. We've got a young team and just trying to get things right here. Obviously, the team that I'm with now is actually similar to what Golden State was when I first arrived there. Hasn't had a whole lot of success the last 5 or 6 years and some issues culturally and whatnot. So we're trying to improve that, and we're getting better. But, it's just been good to come back home to Australia. And we only have 28 games here in the regular season, so it gives me more time with two young kids to be at home and be around. And that obviously weighed into my decision on not hanging up the NBA boots and coming back to Australia.
Andrew, the one thing I wanted to ask you is – what's going on with your cars? Don't you have a lot of cars?
Yeah, I do. I do have a fair few cars.
Like, where are they?
They're in Melbourne. So I'm in Sydney now, so I don't see them a whole lot. I brought one of them up here to Sydney, but they're in a warehouse. They're all on battery chargers. They're just sitting there waiting for the day I give the game up and have time to actually drive them. So they're sitting there safely right now.
So were they over in the United States when you were playing basketball here?
No. So most of my cars are Australian muscle cars. So my collection's kind of always been in Australia.
Gotcha.
I had a few in the States, which I brought back to Australia, a couple of Mustangs and Shelbys. But for the most part, most of my cars are Australian muscle cars.
I take it you get them to Australia by boat?
Yeah, so the...
How does
Shelby
that work?
And the Mustangs that I'd sent from the States, it's a bit of an ordeal because you go through customs and whatnot, but you basically put them in a shipping container. They get thrown on a boat. It takes about 2 or 3 months. They get to Australia. Then you have to go through all the customs and taxes and pay all your fees, and then the car gets released, and then, yeah, you're good to go. So, yeah, I've done it a few times now and kind of used to the process. But for a rookie doing it, it's not something that's easy.
Wait, I'm guessing $25,000 to get a car from the States to Australia, something like that?
No, way cheaper. So
really?
Just the shipping. The shipping's about $4,000 to $5,000. But where good old Australia gets you is they tax you on the value of the car. So
gotcha.
We have a lot. Yeah, if the car's over $70,000, you get taxed at 30% for every dollar over $70,000. So that's where they get you.
Hey, are you watching much NBA these days, or it's kind of out of sight, out of mind?
No, I still watch it. I still follow. Don't follow one team particularly. Obviously, I still like to see most of the former teammates in Golden State do well. But there's a lot of Australians over there right now. Joe Ingles is a good friend of mine in Utah, so I try to follow as much as I can. When I get, you know, we get home from practice at 12 or 1, which is a good time in Australia because it's usually 7 or 8 o'clock in the States. So I get to sit on the couch and eat some lunch and watch some NBA.
So you heard about the Draymond Green, Kevin Durant little flap out here?
Yeah, heard about that. Look, I mean, Draymond, I've gotten into it with Draymond. Everyone's gotten into it with him. He's just a fiery, competitive guy. So, you know, it's never really personal with Draymond. And you know that the next day or the day after, he's going to forget about it and move on. But I'll tell you this, for everyone that's stressing about it, you got 4 potential Hall of Famers with a bit of disharmony. I think you take that any day of the week over a team with no Hall of Famers and everyone's happy.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Last one, your other former team, the Bucks, are doing well They got Giannis Antetokounmpo. What do you think of him? And what about the success the Bucks are having? Do you have any affinity to them?
Yeah, I do. Look, I was there as a rookie, and I kind of grew from a boy to a man in Milwaukee. So it's always got a special place in my heart, just from that aspect. And it's great to see them doing well. I hope they can go all the way to the finals. Giannis is an absolute beast, and he's probably number one candidate for MVP right now. I think for the way he's playing, and they've built a good team around him. Obviously, Brook Lopez, I played with last season, and to get him at the fire was a very smart move because it creates a lot of room for Giannis to operate. And I'm following them very closely. I'm real happy for the way the franchise is going.
Hey, man, thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. I know you got stuff going on back there, but thanks for giving us some time, man. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thanks.